Hello again, and welcome back to the Slow Flowers Podcast with Deborah Prinzing, episode 208. This is the weekly podcast about American flowers and the people who grow and design with them. It's all about making a conscious choice, and I invite you to join the conversation and the creative community as we discuss the vital topics of saving our domestic flower farms and supporting a floral industry that relies on a safe, seasonal, and local supply of flowers and foliage. This podcast is brought to you by slowflowers.com, the free nationwide online directory to florists, shops, and studios who design with American-grown flowers, and to the farms that grow those blooms. It's the conscious choice for buying and sending flowers. And a special thanks to our lead sponsor for 2015, the California Cut Flower Commission, committed to making a difference as an advocate for American-grown flowers. Learn more at ccfc.org. This week, I'm delighted to introduce you to Hillary Holmes, whose Portland-based flower shop is called Emerald Petals. Her tagline, Portland's Eco Florist. And that's not just a marketing slogan. Hillary has a longtime career in the floral industry, both in New England and in the Pacific Northwest, and she has operated as Emerald Petals since 2010. Through her 15 years of floral design, Hillary has nurtured a deep-rooted love for flowers. Emerald Petals is Hillary's playhouse, a place she created so that customers can shop for flowers from another real person, a place where she can put creative arrangements in beautiful found objects, and a place where the simple joys of all growing things is nurtured. It's no surprise that Hillary likens her floral business as a plant to which she lovingly tends. Hillary planted the seed for this little shop on Mississippi Avenue in North Portland, and she's helping it grow with love and a whole lot of dirt under her fingernails. Now she gets to watch it bloom and flourish. She's just celebrating her fifth anniversary this summer. A full-service flower boutique committed to sustainable practices, with a focus on local and domestic flowers and botanicals, Emerald Petals offers fresh custom arrangements for everyday life, as well as flowers for special deliveries, weddings, and events. As Hillary writes on her website, "We truly care about the environment and what effect our footprint will have on it. We source our flowers daily from local farmers, whether they come to us or we go to the farms ourselves. We love to create textural depth using Oregon's abundance of moss, lichen, branches, pine cones, mushrooms, berries, fruits and vegetables, and whatever else we happen upon. During the off season, we also use domestic sustainably grown product and fair trade certified when we import from elsewhere." Hillary was an early supporter of the Slow Flowers movement, and Emerald Petals is a member of slowflowers.com. She walks the talk down to maintaining an ever-changing collection of vintage containers and vases, as well as new containers and glass pieces made either from recycled products or made in the USA. Reuse is encouraged, which appeals to a core group of customers who regularly order and rotate through Hillary's vintage collection. Please visit DeborahPrinzing.com, where you will find photos, links, and more resources about Emerald Petals and the other topics featured on today's episode. Welcome back to the Slow Flowers Podcast with Deborah Prinzing, and I'm coming to you today from Portland, Oregon, and my guest today is Hillary Holmes. Hi, Hillary.
Hi, Deborah. Thank you.
It's great to be on the podcast with you. Hillary is a Slow Flowers member. She's also the owner of Emerald Petals, which is a wonderful floral design business in Portland, and significant in that she's just celebrating her fifth anniversary. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's pretty amazing.
It's quite amazing, yes.
Especially in this sort of transient industry that we're in, right?
Yes, I'm very thankful and very blessed and couldn't be more excited. Every day just gets better.
So. How did you celebrate?
Did we celebrate?
Well, you put it on social media.
Yes,
that's where
yes,
I saw it.
Yes, yes, I did. I'm sure we had a glass or two of bubbles, but
got
other
it.
Than that.
Got it.
We were working.
You
so.
Were working. Well, it's because it's summer and June and... this podcast might run in July, but it's summer and you're busy. Okay, so Hillary, I want you to describe Emerald Petals. First of all, I love the name because it's so Northwest.
Thank you.
You have a retail shop and then you also do weeklies and you have corporate and wedding work. And
yes.
So you're kind of a design studio and a retail shop,
yes.
right?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Is that how it was when you started?
It was. It was definitely more, I think, wedding event related when I started, but I've fallen in love with the area that I'm in and the people, and so my regular customers are definitely dear to me.
And you're in North Portland, which is sort of the hot, hip...
North Mississippi, yes.
The street is called North Mississippi, but this is like Portlandia perfect, right?
You could say that.
Is that really... That's so stereotypical, but I mean, it's an emerging hot.
Yeah, it's definitely changed 300% since I opened 5 years ago.
Well, you're in a pedestrian oriented neighborhood.
Yes.
That's why you have regular customers.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, most definitely.
Wow. So you've got your shop, and it's you have walk-ins, or I mean, who's your customer base?
I have walk-ins. I have regular walk-ins from the neighborhood and
just your fans.
Surrounding, and yeah. And people that just stumble upon me, which is great. And then I also have a lot of call and orders, which is also lovely. And word of mouth, which is very good in this town.
Yeah.
Very, very good.
Where are the call and orders coming from? People who are looking for local flowers? Or
they definitely, a lot of them really appreciate the fact that I am sustainable and that I use local stuff. And they find me through different media outlets.
Hopefully they're finding you a little bit through slow flowers.
I hope so, too. I definitely put it out there to people that that's what they need to be looking at.
But your message is that you source locally.
Yes.
So how do you describe that to people? Do you talk about where the flowers were grown, or how does it come up in the conversation?
If they don't ask, which they have started over the years to start asking more without any prompting, I do let them know. I do say, I met with a farmer today and we picked this out. Everything is fresh. It's all Oregon, California, and Washington, and.
Great story to tell.
Yeah, so, and people love that, and they appreciate it.
It's really the kind of zeitgeist of this city anyway, right?
Yes.
In the food industry?
Yes.
Yeah, add in the wine and beer and all of that. I get the sense that you're in a community where there's like a real emphasis on makers anyway, like artists and jewelers and fashion and all. So you fit right into that. So before you started Emerald Petals, were you in the floral industry?
I was. I've been in the floral industry for 16 years.
Wow.
I started off in Exeter, New Hampshire, working for this amazingly talented woman Jennifer, who kind of does a little bit of the style that I'm more moved to now. Unfortunately, she ended up closing down because her husband got a better job in Pennsylvania.
Oh.
So I moved along to a couple different flower shops, and then I moved to the Pacific Northwest 7 years ago and fell completely in love with it.
Did you intend to stay in the floral industry, or were you...
Oh, yeah, always.
Okay.
Always.
Okay.
I fell, head over heels the first time I...
Well, I lived in New England before, and I know how beautiful Exeter, New Hampshire is, but there is a winter there, and
there's not
a lot of abundance.
No, the Boston market was our only option for many, many months, which is great, but...
But a lot of that was imported or maybe from the West Coast.
Yes.
Yeah. So here in Portland, you have almost a year-round supply
It's fantastic.
Available to you.
Especially with the way the weather has been going.
Yes. We were just talking about this Saturday. Hillary has a wedding, and it's 100 degrees plus projected.
Yes, that's what they're saying.
Global warming. Yeah. It's good for early blooms, but not for summer weddings, right?
Not at all.
So you moved here, and you worked in other floral businesses for a while, but had you always thought you'd start your own business, or how did you make that leap?
I knew that's something I wanted to do, and here with the sustainability and the everybody eco-minded, it really just kind of struck out to me, and I decided I just wanted to jump in, and so I did.
Mm-hmm. What was the hardest thing? Was it finding a location? Was it finding your vendors? Or a little bit of everything? Or was it not even hard?
Location was definitely hard. I knew I wanted to be on the street that I'm in, so that was kind of like... I had to wait for that to open up.
You had to kind of wait for the right storefront. And you had an earlier storefront, and now you're in a different spot, but on the same street, right?
Yes.
And you were, do you think you were ahead of the market in terms of Mississippi's hipness? Like
there was definitely a lot less going on 5 years ago, but it's, it was still definitely moving forward, and there's been a few great shops in the street for many, many years. So
and restaurants.
Yeah. Oh gosh, yes.
So you've got flowers that people are passing by every day.
Mm-hmm.
So you found the location, and that's sort of when you knew you could move forward with Emerald Petals. I love the
name.
Definitely.
Thank you.
So when you started, did you just? I mean, you had been in the business here for a couple years, but did you have to start from scratch developing your customer base?
Yes, I did. A lot of cold calling.
Wow. How did you do that? I mean, cold calling to like businesses?
Yep.
Or
And so was it mainly going after corporate business and restaurant business and that sort of thing?
Yeah, I used the sustainable, Pacific Northwest Sustainable. I'm not saying
that
right.
Oh, it's like an organization.
Yeah, and they list their top 100 of the year. And so I just started going down the list and showing up with flowers.
You're kidding. That's smart. So you already identify potential businesses. Mm-hmm. That
who were kind of like-minded.
Green-minded, mm-hmm. Yeah. And they probably meant that many of them didn't have a florist.
Nope.
And so then you're investing your own money to create
these
sort of calling card bouquets. I've heard people do that, and it's a risk because you're out of pocket.
But it was worth it.
Yeah. I mean, you probably only needed a handful of them to say, we'd like to work with you. But there was an education there. You didn't have to beat them over the head with it. They understood your philosophy. Mm-hmm. That's cool. And so have those become people who will like order once a week, that kind of thing, or for special events?
A little bit of both. Mm-hmm. A little bit of both. I have quite a few of my regular weekly events customers mm-hmm. Have been with me the full 5 years.
Wow.
So that's it's really nice.
Well, it's nice. I hear one thing. I mean, I may be reading between the lines, but it's nice to not have all your eggs in one basket just doing weddings or just doing corporate. It's probably nice to have a mix.
Yeah, I love the mix because I like to be able to do the big showy things, and then I also like to have personal, daily experiences with mm-hmm. my walk-in customers.
Well, also, weddings tend... I don't know if this is true or not in Portland. Are weddings tend to be summer only, or are they almost all year round now?
They're almost all year round now.
Okay, so how many... Like, how would you gauge a successful year? By the number of weddings or by the size of the wedding? This is kind of a stupid question. It's probably the size.
It's a little bit of both is how I gauge it. Because, I have great times with small, intimate weddings, just as much as I have with a big event. So.
I guess you just have to figure out what's profitable for you.
Yes.
So the weddings, it's not like they offset the corporate. They all kind of are happening simultaneously.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then how would you describe your design style? Because I know that's, something that... When people see photos of that we'll put on the show notes of your work, I see a distinct sense of you don't want the predictable flower.
Yeah.
So how do you describe what you're doing? Are you trying to be kind of, I don't know, country or casual or whimsical, or is it just the Hillary look?
It's just the Hillary look. I usually tend to let the flowers talk for themselves. I know people say that all the time,
but I love
a lot of texture, and I love a lot of interesting greenery. The big focal flowers are beautiful too, but I do like a lot of the little tiny intricate details that people will notice the longer they sit and look at the flowers.
I noticed that you had in your shop. You had the lilies, of course, and you had garden roses, and you had dahlias. But then there's the little scabiosa and the little.
The weirder, the
weedy,
better.
Kind of weedy things.
Yes.
I know they're not weeds, but there was something that was like a knotweed. What's that called? I'll think of it in a minute. But it was just like something really cool that I thought, did someone commercially grow that, or did you go out and just harvest it?
A little bit of both. Uh-huh. This year, actually, I have with my roommate, and I have taken over our yard, and we have quite a substantial little cutting garden. So.
Oh, that's great.
Yes.
Oh, so
we need to fill in.
Yeah, are you growing more annuals or just
both?
Whatever you have room for.
Yeah, we've got a little bit of everything. A couple of my farmers have retired, so we got some plants from them, and then we've gone and bought some more plants.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So.
Well, that's perfect, because then you'll have what no one else has.
That's what I'm going for.
Yeah. Well, do you want to be more of a farmer florist, or is there sort of a florist who farms a little kind of thing?
Florist who farms a little.
Uh-huh.
It's amazing. The farming part of it, I've witnessed it many times, but I just don't think I'd much rather be playing with them than.
Yeah, you're a designer.
Yeah.
Well, also, you're in the city.
Yeah.
So it'd be unreal. Unless you happen to have acres right in the city, you wouldn't really be able to grow the volume that you need.
No, not at all.
So let's talk about your sourcing. I mean, it's clear to me when you started, you had a sourcing philosophy that was very much in line with local mm-hmm. and maybe another state away if you can't find something in Oregon. But has it gotten easier to find floral product in the last 5 years, or
has
it just changed?
It has gotten easier. It's changed a bit. Like I mentioned, I have had a few of my big growers have retired, which is just so sad because now I've got to find new ones. But
and I just want to stop for a second and think about that. I mean, this is the big issue in flower farming is the aging farmer, right? And there are some younger farmers coming
along. A lot
of
my new ones, they're all younger. They're all either 2-3 years old starting. So
wow. And so then they know that they can grow their business with you.
Yes, most definitely.
Yeah. How are you finding them? Word of mouth?
Word of mouth. Slow Flowers, actually. Uh-huh. Through other
farmers. And I know you're friends with other florists. You probably share some.
Oh, yeah, we definitely do. Yeah.
Actually, I did hear from Elizabeth Artist today that you're friends with somebody who, and you get first dibs on their flowers, but since she's your friend, she gets second dibs.
Yes.
She didn't name names, but I think that's great. I mean, it's all about relationships,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly, yes.
And so you have the Portland Flower Market as one year-round source,
yes.
Obviously, with some great growers. But then that also means every other florist in town is also shopping at
yes.
that, right?
Yes.
And you want to be a little different.
Most definitely.
So this is helping me see why you want to grow some and then also mm-hmm. develop new sources. How often are you buying? Are you buying every day or?
Pretty much.
You're really close to the Portland Flower Market.
I'm very, very close to the,
No excuse, right?
Yeah.
So you were able to go, even if you had to run out of something, you could mm-hmm. potentially run over and get it.
Yes, very lucky in that respect.
It is. It is really, I mean, I can think about somebody who's in, I don't know, Salem or Corvallis. They couldn't come up here maybe once a week.
Yeah, so. When I was back east, we would go to the Boston Market and
what was that, like an hour and a half drive?
It's like 45, okay. 50 minutes.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'd go once, maybe twice a week because you'd have to go at like 3 or 4 a.m. and yeah.
Yeah. I've never been to that market, but I have heard that you have to hunt a lot to find local flowers.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's just the region of the country.
Yeah.
So this summer, how many weddings are you doing? I know you're doing them every month, but I mean, like, how do you balance it all?
Because
you have a big wedding this weekend. That's got to mean you have no days off.
Sometimes I go without days off, but I'll take, you know, snippets here and there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just mm-hmm. perseverance and pushing through. And
are you open on Sunday?
Yes.
Okay. But you have people working for you,
yes.
too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. We're closed Tuesdays.
Oh, I heard that on your voicemail. Why? It's so Tuesday is a good day to take off?
It just, when I first started in the street, it was just, that was the day that nobody really came out. So that's the one I stuck with. And uh-huh. it's good because not everybody has Tuesdays off, so I get to go do my errands and not
mm-hmm.
run around with the weekend
mm-hmm.
crowd.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Well, and if somebody needed something, you've trained your customers to get it on Monday.
Yeah, or we do, you know, we'll still do deliveries if needed on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of
thing. Mm-hmm. We talked a little bit about customers finding you and seeking you out for sustainability. Are you seeing that just in general there's a more interest in that than 5 years ago when you first started?
Definitely.
Okay. And do you think that that's just sort of happening in all consumer categories, or is it just Portland that this is happening unique to the
I definitely think it's a lot on the West Coast,
mm-hmm.
but I do have customers from all over the country that call and say that that's what they're looking for and that they appreciate that's what it is.
Wow.
And
yeah. Wow. So. Oh, so people will call you to do
a delivery here
uh-huh.
locally. And,
mm-hmm. and are you part of any wire service or any organization?
Just Slow Flowers.
Wow. That's really great. That makes me hope
yes.
that people are finding you through Slow Flowers. So ask them and let me know. I think that with the internet, there's no reason why people shouldn't be doing that anyway. Instead of just relying
exactly.
on a cookie cutter design off of, you know, a website that with the wire services.
Exactly.
And we won't name names, but
no.
I mean, we all know what that stuff looks like. And anecdotally, I just hear a high disappointment rate in that. And you probably are you on Yelp?
Yes.
Because I think I've heard that's a really important way for florists to get ranked. And so do your customers go on? And
They do. Uh-huh. And they appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. And do they go on to write about how great you are or to
both.
To check your ratings?
Both.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's, I don't know. It's kind of a nerve-wracking. You're hoping they're all happy, but
yes.
I guess if they're not, you know how to correct it.
Yes, exactly. I would hope that, you know, there's nothing so terrible that we can work it out.
Right. So when I was in your shop, I was mostly mesmerized by your vase collection. Tell me how you...
It's a bit of a problem.
Well, yeah, I have the same affliction. How do you... how do you offer that mix of vintage versus, you know, maybe a newer piece that's more standardized? What do you tell people that they can choose from?
If we're trying to figure out an arrangement for, say, a birthday or something, and I'll ask, you know, what are they like? What are they into? And get descriptive about it. And if it's something that I feel would work with them, then I'll suggest it. And a lot of times they ask for it. It is on my website that they are available.
And then will they ask you to send them a photo? Or
a lot of the times, uh-huh.
Yeah. And are you just like flea market, Goodwill?
Yep, all over.
Garage
Every
sale?
Little moment that I have free. Yes.
Yeah, it is an affliction. I mean, that's way cheaper to go that route than Etsy or something, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And I also notice that you have some collections. So, like, what's that nail head milk glass? What's that?
Oh, called? The milk glass.
Yeah, with the knobs. I mean, you have enough of that. Would you use that for a wedding then?
Or? Yeah, I actually have more of that.
It's behind the veil.
Yeah, I do. I definitely rent them out for events and weddings, and then I also use them in my corporate weeklies and things like that.
Yeah, there was a vase that I really admired, a Hager vase, and you said you don't sell it, you use it for...
I have a special client that I go do her flowers once a week, and she usually gets that one.
But she knows it's yours.
Yes.
And I think the thing about renting also, I mean, obviously that's, you've spent a lot of time and money creating that collection of the milk glass. You obviously should get paid something to rent it out, but in the end, doesn't the wedding party see that it's still less expensive?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Okay, and also kind of a recycled, repurposed
thing. Exactly, they really like that because, I mean, a lot of my weddings are local people, but a lot of them have a lot of out of town guests, and they don't want to they can't just give away the flowers.
Right,
they want, you know.
Right.
So exactly. They take the flowers, people and they give me back the vases.
Right, yeah. They can't fly with the vase anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah. And do you have other types of vases that you use that are good for weddings? Like, do you have, I don't know, vintage brass or...
I do. I have pewter, and I have some brass.
Ooh, the pewter must be cool.
It's really cool. And then I've got a lot of the Hager pieces. And
it's just this... I'm so curious about this because there's so much of this, like, what is the next ball jar, you know?
Yes.
And what you've just described to me, none of that is new. You've had to go and... seek them out. And every time somebody complains about the ball jar, or when I was in England, they call it the jam jar, I just said...
I actually like that better, jam jar.
Yeah. I said, look, we might poo-poo it, but there's nothing's popped up that is American-made and affordable.
Yeah.
And until something does, you know, it's going to be in the mix.
As soon as somebody does that, they'll make a mint.
Okay, so did you see that, this is going off topic, but since we're talking about vases, did you see that Ball is done an amethyst-colored glass now?
I have seen that.
I was, okay, I have some of the green and some of the blue. I'm like, do I really need this amethyst? But it's they also made it sound like it was the last in the series, because I kind of wanted them to do an amber glass.
That would be really
which
pretty.
Which I think would be really pretty, yeah. Mm-hmm. So maybe we'll lobby for that. But you have a lot of shelves filled with vases, and now I hear that you've got more. So so your shop has a back, we didn't go in the back, but your cooler's in the back, and are you
my
able
sink
to...
sink and all that.
Okay, and store everything you need there. Wow, that's great. And how do you do deliveries? Do you do them yourself, or do you have a service?
I do them a lot myself, and then I also have...
who will help.
Yeah. Drivers.
But it's like... It probably depends on the scale. If it's something really special, you or in one of your vases.
Yeah, I'm. I like to. Yeah, I'm type A. I like to control that.
You want to see your baby in the right place.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, that's cool. So I was just watching you design. Was that for a weekly?
Yeah, bi-weekly. Yep.
Okay, and you were using the buddleia, which I absolutely love, and some dahlias, and some coxcomb. That was kind of an amber color. Is that a local?
It was Peter Court.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. Because Peter Court is growing coxcomb now. But the thing that struck me, and I would love it if we, I don't know if we'll have that whole finished arrangement to show, but your palette was, it was kind of this, I don't want to say tea stained, but it wasn't pastel and it wasn't primary. It was this muted but really romantic palette. I don't know if that's one you're always drawn to, but it was
depends on the flower.
Depends on the flower. Yeah, I think because the buddleia was kind of this amethyst looking flower, not bright purple.
Yes.
That was neat too.
Nice.
So any given time, you must have, like, you probably had 40 vases of single varieties in each on display. And so it's not like people walking into a cooler. You've got them out for people to touch.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Okay. Touch, smell. Yes.
Does that help sell?
It definitely does. Yes.
And then generally on those hot days, the store is cool enough that they're not frying, right?
We put the more delicate stuff
away.
The cooler,
uh-huh.
Especially this coming weekend. you know, we'll have nice little signs out that say, you know, there's more. Mm-hmm. Please ask.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah. Well, the signage is interesting because you do have some really great kind of point of purchase, like chalkboard signs mm-hmm. and all. How are you marketing? How do you, you have beautiful postcards that you mm-hmm. also send out, but how do, what do you rely on? Is it more social media or is it more do you have an email list that you use or is it just, just word of mouth, referrals?
It's a lot of word of mouth. It's a lot of social media. I do email. Not very regularly.
me either. True confession.
I have my list, but I've gotten a lot of really good word of mouth. So,
I think that's smart. I mean, if a wedding party is happy, that's probably the best business development you could do.
Yeah, definitely,
because then their friends will call you,
mm-hmm. and I've had that happen. So it's nice. Yes.
So going forward after your first 5 years, what are your do you have any goals that you're going to try to, or are you just like, maybe go on vacation?
Yeah, I know. I actually went on my first vacation this year where I didn't have to worry about anything.
You're kidding. Yeah. Oh, what a luxury.
Yeah.
What did you do? Because you had Sarah Jane.
Yes.
So you have a really good employee.
I have an amazing employee. Yep. I got to go to Hawaii for 6 days and I didn't have to worry about anything. It was magical.
You needed that. You needed that. Yeah. It's hard for small business owners just to get away. But I can see that you're probably, like, I don't know, there's sort of this mindset that bigger is better. And I don't know, I've had friends who've owned small retail businesses and there's pressure to open a second location, for example. I mean, I don't know if that's something, people probably approach you about that.
People have approached me. We may or may not have something in the works.
Oh.
But.
Okay, stay tuned on that.
Yes, for the most part, you know, where I'm at right now is where I want to stay.
Yeah, it sounds like you're kind of like, let's make this existing business more more profitable.
Definitely.
Instead of investing in something new, unless mm-hmm. it happens to fall on your lap.
Yes.
And then how is the winter? Is the winter more quiet or are you just as busy because you've got all the corporate work?
Just as busy.
Wow.
Yeah, I thought there would be a lull this past winter. Granted, the weather was much nicer this year, but there was no lull. January was hopping.
I've heard that weddings in December and January are really picking up.
Mm-hmm. I had a few in January this year. It was great.
And is it because people can't get, they want a venue that they can't get otherwise?
I think that's part of it. And then people really like the idea of having a winter wedding.
Yeah.
I mean, we have great, you know, mountains and Timberline Lodge and so.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I bet you've had some really amazing venues where you've done.
Lots of pine cones.
Quintessentially Northwest. Yes. Oh, yeah. So you said Timberland Lodge, so that's like the big classic Northwest lodge east of Portland, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Have you done weddings there?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Oh, I bet that's gorgeous.
It is.
I'm just dying to think. I'm just thinking the motif when you said pine cones and pine boughs and
all of it.
Mm-hmm. You have to snowshoe in. No, not quite that
almost
bad.
Almost.
That's cool. Are you teaching at all?
No, I've been approached many times. Do that. It's something that it's always in the back of my mind that I would love to just have a few classes, see how people react, because mm-hmm. They do ask.
I think I would love to take a class from you. I don't know where you would do it. You'd have to maybe find another venue or clear some.
Yeah, there's ways that I could make
set
it
a
work
table if, up. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's another facet to do, but there's also what would it lead you to? A good source of income. Mm-hmm. But would it bring in more customers? I mean, I could see a situation where if you could do group work, you know, events where you're like, I don't know, bridal shower kind of things.
Definitely.
Where you're getting this big chunk of orders coming through, then that would be kind of fun.
Be a lot of fun.
So what's the flower of the year? Is there any kind of hot flower? I know that's Saloja. I just have to say, I'm going to take a picture when we go back because that color was
pretty,
it's almost like
it's wondrous.
I don't know, like a caramel color or something. But there's always, well, lately in the last year, I've heard a lot of complaints about people being sick of Cafe Olé dahlias. And so I keep thinking, well, I mean, people being sick, florists being sick. So what's next, you know? And I haven't quite convinced myself that I know what it is.
I'm not sure. Yeah. That's a tough one. I still love them, so.
You use them a lot?
I use them, I wouldn't say a lot to the point where I get sick of them. So I use them sparingly.
Or you're combining them with other colors, maybe.
A little bit other colors, mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that one thing that I did notice is when Pantone announced their color of the year with the Marsala, I saw a lot of people trying to find foliage and flowers in that palette, which wasn't that hard.
No, definitely not.
If the year they do turquoise, it's not going to be so easy, right? So we'll have to compare notes. I'm just looking at your blouse that you're wearing, and it's kind of the color of that celosia, so mm-hmm. a little more green, but I'm like, well, maybe that's your natural preferred color.
Maybe I'm drawn to that, yeah.
What do you see on the horizon that you think is coming down the pike for the floral industry? Anything that, like, you're starting to see people... For example, I have been hearing that, you know, well, we know flower crowns have come
yes.
and been really big.
Definitely.
I was at an event recently where someone made a floral wand for the flower girl to carry.
Which, done that. It's really cute.
Have you? I had never seen that before. So those sorts of things show up on Pinterest, mm-hmm. and that's really where the demand is.
Yes.
Like the brides are coming to you saying...
They like the floral jewelry. That's definitely where...
That's true.
The wearable floral. Yeah.
Do you do any of that?
I do a little bit of it.
Yeah, yeah. It's a cool... I don't have any skills in that, but I think it would be really fun. But that's another one. And
it's a little more nerve-wracking than...
It's like, that is going to take way longer than the bridal bouquet.
Yes.
And is that really what they want to spend their money on? I feel like the other thing is just really that kind of foraged look. Maybe that's because we're in the Northwest.
Yeah.
Where you have access to all that.
Yes.
And we can clip a lot of branches. Okay, looking forward to your next 5 years, what is on your wish list for Emerald Petals and for Hillary Holmes?
Well, I would like to see Emerald Petals continue to thrive, be sustainable. I'd like to see it encourage and teach more people about the local flower movement and about knowing what they're getting and knowing what they're using and knowing what they're putting in their homes.
That's good. That's important.
It's very important.
And you're kind of just... walking that walk every day
yeah.
by putting your flowers in vases, and you're impacting people beyond what you even realize. Just anyone who walks into your shop.
Definitely. I enjoy that.
And I really admire that.
Thank you.
So congratulations.
Thank you.
And here's to the next 5 years.
Thank you.
And if anyone's in Portland, they need to come up to North Mississippi and find Emerald Petals, and there's lots of places to eat and drink. We've
yes.
been to two of them already. And Hillary will greet you, and you'll see some gorgeous designs and really beautiful local flowers, no matter what the season.
No matter what the season.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining me today. Last week, I announced that our podcast exceeded 60,000 downloads. If that wasn't great news enough, this week we're celebrating the 600th Slow Flowers member to join the slowflowers.com site. Please welcome Raspberry Hill Farm, a small family farm located on 14 acres in northern Colorado, just south of the Wyoming border, about 15 miles outside of Fort Collins. Farmer florist Kathy Hatfield specializes in growing high-quality, long-lasting specialty cut flowers, seasonal and sustainably grown. More than 150 different varieties, from old-fashioned favorites to unique and unusual new ones. During the growing season, the gardens at Raspberry Hill overflow with gorgeous colors, delightful fragrances, and striking textures of beautiful flowers. I can't wait to visit this place. Please check out Raspberry Hill by following the link I've shared on today's show notes. This past week was filled with so many wonderful highlights, each of which represents a memory and another beautiful piece in the Slow Flowers quilt. I spent time in Brooklyn attending and co-hosting the 5th Field to Vase Dinner at the famed Brooklyn Grange, where Slow Flowers member Molly Culver of Molly Oliver Flowers, and a past guest of this podcast, designed a dazzling tablescape using seasonal flowers and foliage harvested from 9 area farms in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. Those arrangements symbolize so much about this conversation we've been having, about how essential it is to support America's flower farmers when we also choose to support America's food farmers. Molly also hosted me for a personal visit to the Youth Farm in Crown Heights, Brooklyn, where she is the farm manager and director of urban farm training. My arrival coincided with the final gathering of the summer student interns, all high school, junior, and seniors at the High School for Public Service. These amazing young people are the next generation of farmers, food and flower farmers, and I was so impressed with their interest in and passion for urban farming, for the environment, for food justice, and flowers. please visit DeborahPrinzing.com to check out photos of the summer students and all that they're growing. And finally, a shout out to Susanna Cameron, a new Slow Flowers member who owns STEMS Brooklyn. Susanna hosted an after-hours Slow Flowers gathering in her flower shop last Friday, which, by the way, is located inside Sycamore Bar in Brooklyn's Ditmas Park neighborhood. We had 15 flower farmers, florists, and writers in attendance, and I'm still on a high from the ideas and creative energy in that room. More news next week when you will hear from an illustrious guest, David Beam. David is a rock star special events producer and florist whose work takes him from New York City to destinations around the globe. He has some big news to share, and I can't believe our good fortune to feature it on the Slow Flowers podcast on September 2nd. Until next week, you're invited to join me in putting more American-grown flowers on the table, one vase at a time. Thank you to each and every one for downloading, listening, commenting, and sharing. It means so much. And if you like what you hear, please consider logging on to iTunes and posting a listener review. The content and opinions expressed here are either mine alone or those of my guests alone, independent of any podcast sponsor or other person, company, or organization. The Slow Flowers podcast is engineered and edited by Andrew Wheatley and Hannah Holtgertz. Learn more about their work at shellandtree.com.